UPS Company. See you tomorrow.
This is Ken here at Prime Rate Motors. We understand everybody's situation is different. We have helped people get into the car they need by numerous ways. You may need to downtrade for lower payments. You may wish to trade in more than one car. Prime Rate Motors will accept trade-ins on trailers, tractors, campers, even four-wheelers. So let us help you get into a premium pre-owned vehicle that is exactly what you want and need. Here at Prime Rate Motors and Super Trailer Store on Sheridan's Coffee and Avenue or PrimeRateMotors.com.
Think you've got serious bass skills? Then prove it. Connect Home Center and Century 21 BHJ Realty present Fish Your Bass Off on SheridanMedia.com. Snap and upload your best fishing photo for a shot at $600 in prizes. That's right. Fish all summer and show us your catches. Enter now on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com. So grab your gear, hit the water, and fish your bass off.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Monday, June 23rd, from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I am joined by Museum at the Bighorns Operation Director Chip King and Museum Director Carrie Ettinger. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, where were you able to open for Third Thursday?
Yes. We were open on Third Thursday. Phase one is open, the lobby retail store, and we have a small summer exhibit open about the history of 171 North Main Street. We had quite a few people come through the doors asked us if we were open. And also, we had a table set up front with activities for June. The activity was Design Your Own Historic Building. I had selected downtown Sheridan photos from 1889 to the 1950s so they could see the transformation of our downtown. They were a little more popular to talk about than the activity, but people still stopped by.
Now, when it comes to those photos, Carrie, how many photos do you think the museum actually has in the archive?
I have no idea. I'm still going through the collection. That's my biggest learning curve. But, the ones that are higher quality scanned, I could print out so I could share them that night. Yes.
Is it a bit of I wouldn't say guessing game. Let's call it educated guessing game, because some look so different. You try to figure out what angle are we looking at and what building could that have been?
Yes, especially in the beginnings of like the late 1880 photos or 1890 photos, when they're wooden structures, and if somebody didn't notate on the description what block you were at, either Laux or Works, it is a little harder to figure out where you are if you don't have any description with it. Yes.
Yeah, I'll bet that'd be pretty fun, though.
Yes.
In its own way.
They're wonderful to look at.
they're really cool to look at. Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the large art installation that was recently put on the side of the building, Carrie, you said it looks amazing. When you have folks coming in and visit, are they standing outside for quite a while and looking at that?
Well, I didn't get a chance to poke my head around the corner during Third Thursday, but Third Thursday was definitely well attended. And I know that for the unveiling of the mural, they had great attendance. So it was well advertised. And of course, you can't miss the vibrant new brick wall color and things like that. It's a definite change in Grinnell Plaza.
Yeah. Going to bring it kind of more to life.
Yes.
I think a lot more folks are going to be standing around outside used to, for sure. Now, completion of phase one. What is done?
Everything except the last, six pieces of glass that go around the staircase. They are still in Timbuktu glass country, wherever they come from.
Shipping delays.
Yeah. We've been told that on the 7th, they should be in town and they will be installed that day. So, you know, we're just keeping our fingers crossed that there's no damage.
Yeah.
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 After that, then, you know, the lobby itself, you know, little touch-ups here and there, you know, oh, paint scuffed or anything like that, but it's done. Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. What still needs done?
Phase 2. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what is involved in phase 2?
Phase 2 is the exhibit area, which is the back first floor, and then the collection space, which is about a third of the basement downstairs, which will hold, archive the majority of our collections. So the contractors will finish the drywall. There's still some random walls that just are projecting out that need to be taken down. So it'd be a very nice open space. And then the wood floor is the final piece. And then the exhibit build out, which is kind of a whole different process in itself after that exhibit space has all its cosmetic things done to it to make it ready for the next phase.
Now, when we...
Lots of phases.
Right. So, yes. A whale is eaten one bite at a time, my friend. When it comes to the exhibit build-out, are there, like, bases that these individuals will be coming in, essentially constructing, setting up, and then after that, you actually get to go in and kind of have some fun?
Well, it's definitely a team effort. Upland Design is the exhibit design firm that we have been working with. We still have to first create a floor plan. I have, you know, chosen those broad themes that I talked about on the show in the wintertime. But with the exhibit build out, the planning is just imagine this big outline of those themes, like the Bighorn Mountains and things like that. So it's taking either history or the different name points of the mountain as an example, what's in the collection that can represent them, but also sometimes working with our neighbors, like our native tribes, for those cultural site names and things like that, and how that can be placed within the exhibit. So there's a lot of team effort to show as much as we can about our mountains, what's in the collection to show that, but also historical texts, audio. I would like to see more audio dialogue. Also, a little more media, web pages that have more information that you can use your phone and listen to that audio. All those things about exhibit design, of course, has evolved from carrying around a clunky device and listening to all the audio that way, or lots of reading. Our attention span has changed with the internet. We don't like to stand around and read. We want that, that information a little quicker, a little more spoon-fed, either by audio or visuals that tell more of a story. So yes, we have a lot of points to reach and research and. Yeah, going through the collection of what else there is that can show those stories, descriptions. Yeah.
That's incredible. the reason why I say it's incredible is because it's the embracing of a lot of this modern technology. In 2005, I had the pleasure of going through a museum in Germany, and I had to carry something that looked like a big TV remote.
Yes.
Keep it pressed up against my ear.
Right.
Nowadays, right. All we got to do... And I love the fact that you guys have already kind of jumped on board with this. I pull my phone out.
Right.
And oh, you know, maybe there's one of those little scan codes.
Yes, right? The QR code.
And I point it, and all of a sudden now I get like a little mini documentary on the things that I'm staring at.
Right.
Right, yeah.
That's incredible.
And for people who do not have your smartphones, we will have an iTablet that they can borrow. We are planning that so things are accessible.
That is going to make going to the museum so much more interactive than it used to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're no longer just standing there staring at, which, don't get me wrong, I mean, I'll spend days in a museum. Ask my wife. I'm the guy, you know. Right. Oh, we got to read this tab. Oh, we missed one. Let's go back and look at that. I'm that guy. But to be able to walk through there and just hit that and really look at that, maybe hear Chip's voice reading a narration over something, or Carrie's voice reading a narration over something having to do with the Bighorn Mountains. Not only, you know, it really opens up a lot of different avenues for what you could possibly do. And it opens up the museum for a lot more people.
Right.
The hearing impaired or the vision impaired. Those individuals can now go in there and really get something more out of what they used to.
Right.
What a fantastic idea.
You know, Carrie and I we talk every day, but almost every day the accessibility is something that has come up, even in the store, the space in the store, or we're both just walking through the back, exhibit space. And we're like, you know, if we did blah, blah, blah. And so, it is a conversation that we're having every day.
Mm-hmm. And to have your mind kind of in that museum world all the time. And then you're just constantly, okay, well, we like museums too. What if we tried this? What if we tried that? And having the freedom to do so, that's pretty incredible. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Carrie?
It's exciting. It's kind of this wandering career path that I've had with finishing school and stuff to finally get to this point. It's exciting to be able to put all these parts together and experiences and...
And, you know, Chip, I was talking to Councilman Lumen the other day, and...
I'm sorry that you... kidding, Greg.
we were touching on the idea that, you know, Chip, there was a time you kind of carried this whole thing on your back for a little bit, buddy.
No. Yeah, it was... I mean, you know, it had been a challenge, and I told the board, that I would get them from point A to point B. And point A is moving out of the log building on Fifth Street. And point B was the board hiring a museum director. Mm-hmm. And they did that. And I was able to, complete the task that I needed to complete at that time. Getting phase two coordinated is still an ongoing thing. And, running that museum store, I mean, there's still empty shelves, there were still boxes, on the floor that had merchandise, as I build shelves, Oh, okay. I need to move this set of shelves. Oh, I need to move that set of shelves. Oh, it doesn't make sense to have this there, that there, but, getting Carrie on board. I mean, she's got a skill set I do not have. Mm-hmm. And I've got a skill set she doesn't have. So, getting the museum moved, yeah, it was a lot for one person, but I had a board behind me and a lot of help.
Yeah.
And Greg being one of those that really helped.
He gets things done.
Yeah, he really does.
Yes,
he really does.
Yeah.
And so, having Carrie on board now, going back to, just walking through a space and the two of us having a conversation about something, we're bouncing ideas off of each other and asking questions, and I'm learning, and I'm learning from Carrie. I hope she's learning something from me. maybe how not to be, but I hope she's learning something from me. So yeah, it was a struggle. Got there, got to point B, and now we need to move forward to point C, D, E, F, Z.
Mm-hmm. Those connections with the local artisans for the artifacts that you guys want to sell, are those being made? Are those still being made, Chip?
Yeah. Yeah. We've got three tables that are set up that are almost exclusively local people made. Young kid, Liam Hill, Lumber and Light, I believe, if I remember right, is the name of his little wood shop. Kid just graduated high school and makes cutting boards, charcuterie boards, little inspirational mountain signs. And, you know, he's making them for, you know, college money. Mm-hmm. And he's headed off to college this fall.
Oh, fantastic.
What we have is what we're going to have until he comes back at, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, so we've got a lot of things like that. The Bighorn Historical Society, the Claremont Historic Group, their books. We've got, I believe, once Claremont delivers their books, I think we will have all of the locally published historic books.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, I could be wrong, but there's, I don't know, 24, 36 titles.
Yeah, all about local history. Everything from TP Lodge to, well, Claremont has quite a few local books about the towns that were the railroad towns when the railroad was coming north to Sheridan, and they don't exist anymore. They're very productive with their writing and publishing. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, if someone out there is like, you know, I've got a lot sitting in boxes that I could contribute to this, meaning like things that I've made myself that I would like to sell, how does somebody join this artisan group?
You know, just reach out to the museum. It's really the easiest way right now is through the email, the info@museumbighorns.org. Right now, you know, we're still hit and miss on the phone. I mean, we're there every day, but, you know, the quickest way to get a response is through that email address.
Okay. Now, real quick, before I take a break, hours of operation.
10 to 5 on Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 to 7 Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and noon to 4 on Sunday. Okay. We are closed on Monday.
Okay. Monday is cleanup day, or, yes, or the day off.
Well, we want to expand our hours. We just need a part-time front desk staff to help. Right now, it's the Chip and Carrie show. So we are dividing the days and also doing our full-time jobs with being at the front desk.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about that hiring. You may be able to join this fantastic team, folks. We'll have more with our Museum at the Bighorns right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Compass Center for Families.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
The Food Group and YMCA have partnered for Neighborhood Pop-Up Camp every Wednesday from 4:30 to 5:30 in North Heights Park. Come play with the YMCA and the Food Group. Enjoy some fun treats, games, and get prizes. All you have to do is just show up and have fun. As always with the Food Group, these activities are open and free to all kids in Sheridan County.
At Sheridan Media, excellence is our standard, and the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters agree. We're thrilled to announce a sweep of recent awards, including Tommy and Bell for Best Radio Show, Kevin Coyle for Best News Reporter, and Aaron Linden for Best Station Promo. We also took first place for Best Photography and second place for Best Online Video. Our Active Reload podcast, Best Sports Reporting, and Play-by-Play with Aaron Lagaki. Steve Sisson won for his 90s at 9. We're especially proud that KWYO was selected Station of the Year and Julie Chadwick for Account Executive of the Year. Experience the best local media in Wyoming. Experience Sheridan Media.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, I am with Museum at the Bighorns Museum Director, Carrie Ettinger, and Operations Director, Chip King. Now, the front section of the Museum at the Bighorns is open, except on Mondays. One more time, could you tell us the hours again for folks that are just joining?
Yes, Tuesday and Wednesday, we are 10 to 5. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 10 to 7. And on Sundays, it is noon to 4. We are closed on Mondays. And yeah, we're hoping to really expand those hours even more. Just being downtown. And I mean, we're gearing up for the height of tour season now. I mean, Trail Run was this past weekend. And, you know, we're just going to spin around, click our spurs, and rodeo is going to be here in just, you know, before any of us know it.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, like Carrie said, it is, it's the Carrie and Chip show right now. So, holy cow, please apply.
And speaking on that, Carrie, what is the open position technically for?
It is it called Museum Assistant, Retail Assistant? What is the whole title?
Yeah, I can't remember the whole title either.
But basically, it's helping with the front desk, with visitors who come in and kind of telling the story as we do of where the museum is currently, assisting with any sales in the museum store, and the summer exhibit, of course, being able to talk a little bit more about that exhibit space and things opening, and kind of helping us out with light admin work.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this essentially, you are going to be the first face they see.
Yes.
When they
yes.
come in there.
Visitor yes. services.
You're going to be the one welcoming them in and, you know, pushing the merch after they get through everything, of course. But at the same time, you're kind of the host/hostess. Of the museum. Now, when it looks like what it does right now, so it's all going to be front of house work as of right now. Will this individual be helping you when it comes to helping to set up exhibits, maybe tear them down? We're trying to get, you know, long term.
I think, right now it will be more the communication of what's coming up with exhibits and programs. So then that is my job to communicate or have an order for them to know those things, the communication end of it. Yes.
If I were to sit here and say, when are we going to be fully up and running? Do we have an estimated time? And I don't want to curse anything because, you know, as you were saying.
Yeah, it depends on fundraising for phase two and also the build out time with the Upland design team as we move forward with that, their schedule. So even if we open the exhibit space in two different phases, I have planned the rotating exhibit space for 2026. There are things that will be coming up for 2026.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Chip, if I'm out there and I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, you know what? This sounds like what I want to do. How do I apply?
You know, same thing. Get us a resume, get us a cover letter, shoot it to that info@museumbighorns.org. Carrie and I do look them over. We've got two young people right now that we think we've got on board, shot a schedule for review to one of them. The other one, I think today or tomorrow, we will see. And I shouldn't say interview. That is such a formal, anymore, but it's a conversation. I mean, we want them to tell us, you know, yeah, you've got it written down, but tell us about you. What makes you tick? Why are you interested? And it's a very, very much a conversation.
Yeah.
It really is. Just between Carrie, myself, and whoever's applying.
Oh, yeah. What a grilling.
I know. Yeah, right? Right? Yeah.
Raking over the coals for this position, folks. I'll tell you what, you know, that sounds like a really fantastic and fun position. And if you're into local history, And if you happen to have a lot of these little tidbits in your back pocket, if you're one of those people, I think this is a great position for
you. Oh, yeah.
You know, the little tidbit history pieces that I like to drop on people, that's really what I'm looking for out of that individual.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah.
Welcome them in and be like, hey, you want to know a little something about that button? Let me tell you how important that button actually is. You know, little things like that really kind of bring a museum to life.
Right.
Now, Thursday's activities table.
Oh, yes. Well, July, as Chip said, is right around the corner. So for the July activities table, we will be looking at parade photos. I have many varieties of parade photos that went down Main Street from rodeo to a zoo parade, marching band. So I will print those out. And the activity is to design your own parade. I love a parade.
Oh, wow.
So we will use the accordion-style book, which is basically a very long piece of paper folded like an accordion, and you can either draw it freehand, or I have purchased horse stencils, vehicle stencils, and you can just make your own parade, and it's kind of a make-it-and-take-it idea, and just to get the collection out to our community to look at.
Now, if folks have memories, if they've got photos themselves, they can contribute to the museum at the Bighorns, right?
They can. Currently, with all the construction and not unpacking all of the collection in its right spot, organizing, I'm not quite there yet taking on new collection items. But if people have things, we can start the conversation. I just need time for organizing and the process of adding to the collection.
Okay.
Yes. I'm not saying no. I just need a little more time.
Just got to catch my breath here.
Yes,
for a moment.
Yes.
Now, can parents take part in this activities table?
Oh, yes. We had adults even stop by the table because, you know, if you have interest in drawing or making something creative, they sat down and created a building last Thursday.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes.
How many folks did you have come through? Quite a few.
Oh, 20-some that actually stopped at the table. So I think that's a good number with people wandering. And
oh, yeah.
We had 60-some that went through the museum that night, which I think is a great number to get started. Yeah.
Now, Chip, what are people saying?
You know, everything really is positive. I mean, there's some that they think that the museum is open. And I mean, Carrie and I have really tried very hard to make sure that people know, you know, phase one is complete. We do have a summer exhibit. Phase two is the exhibit space. And that is needing to be built out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there of course have been some, you know, disappointment because, oh, it's not, you know, fully, you know, it's, I can't spend an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever the case may be. But all the conversation with everybody, they're all like, hey, we can't wait to come back and see what's, you know, what's going on and what has changed. And that's just, I mean, the conversations that Carrie and I have spurred with, you know, maybe we take someone back into that space. Maybe they've donated some money. So hey, we'll walk you through the construction site.
Sure.
You know, and just that, get that kind of excitement. And it, I've tried to get a wide range of local made, mass made, you know, things that are going to appeal to kids, things that are going to appeal to adults. And, you know, a lot of books. Holy cow. I was trying to count them yesterday and I don't even have all of them yet. But we're going to have close to 100 titles of local history, of just some general Western history, of Native American aspects, you know, points of view. And so, you know, kids' books. So, you know, between all of that, I mean, so far everything has been very positive
yeah.
feedback. And we want that feedback. You know, what can we do? Where do we need help? And so, yeah, anytime someone comes in the door, Carrie said 60 people. I can tell you this, on the Fifth Street location, we never had 60 people in one day. And that was a 4-hour period that we had 60 people walking through.
Wow.
So that's phenomenal.
That's fantastic. Absolute numbers. Phenomenal. Guys, I've run out of time with you. Next time I have you on, I hope we're talking about a big fundraiser for phase two.
Sure.
I think that would be fantastic. That way folks can contribute to that, contribute to their hometown museum, which sounds like it's going to be probably one of the best in the state.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
All right. When we come back, we're going to speak with the Wyoming State Director of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network. Stay with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Compass Center for Families.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
WyoJam 2025, outdoor concerts in downtown Sheridan. Three nights, big stage, pure country music, rodeo week. Boots hit the ground starting Thursday night with a free concert benefiting NAMI with Jared Morris.
I'll be here waiting for the show.
Friday, Chancey Williams.
Motel Boys.
And Saturday, Thompson Square.
You gonna kiss me tonight?
WyoJam 2025, presented by XO Agency and Branded 307. Get your tickets online at WyoJam.com.
When hail strikes, call the pros. Nate here with Pro Plus Roofing. Hail can cause damage to your home that may not be visible to the untrained eye. Give us a call for a free inspection and, if needed, a no-obligation estimate. We are licensed, bonded, and insured contractor in all of northeastern Wyoming and an endorsed, certified contractor for Malarkey Roofing Products, Owens Corning, and a CertainTeed Master Installer. Don't trust your biggest investment to an unestablished company. Call the pros. Pro Plus Roofing, 682-0889. In Sheridan, 675-0889.
Hey, it's Yvonne with the Advocacy and Resource Center. Bikers Against Bruises is back. Riding twice over the Bighorn Mountains. Early registration Friday, June 27th, 5 to 8 at the No Name Bar. Saturday, June 28th, meet at the Java Moon Station in Sheridan from 8 to 9 for coffee, treats, and the ride of your life. $20 per game. We will end the ride with food from Beano's and live music at the Last Chance Bar in Bighorn. All proceeds help victims of violent crimes in Sheridan County. Questions? Call 672-7471.
So my buddy asked me what I was doing with a fork in the toaster. Experimenting, I said. Well, the same goes for you tuning up or fixing your own 4x4 side-by-side or lawnmower. Because you won't do it, and if you do it, you'll do it wrong. Look, sticking a fork in a toaster ain't figuring anything out. And you ain't better off just doing nothing. I mean, you could just wait till it bursts into flames and really do it with flair. So don't experiment with your tune-up. Get it done right at Hando Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
I'm Aaron Lagaki, owner of Mossholder's Design Center. And if you've listened to Sheridan Media Stations anytime since the 1980s, you've probably heard our name. That's four decades of staying connected to our customers because radio works. It builds trust and keeps us in people's homes, cars, and their conversations. If you're running a local business and not using Sheridan Media, you're not just missing opportunities, you're handing them to someone else. Trust me, radio is worth it.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by the Wyoming State Director of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, Paul Juergens. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, for those individuals out there who may not know, Paul, let's talk about what the Firefighter Cancer Support Network is.
The Firefighter Cancer Support Network is a nonprofit organization that is at works to reduce the cancer risk for firefighters. They do this through some education, they do it from some steps a firefighter can take to reduce the exposure. And also, when a firefighter does get cancer, it provides a support network for them and their families to go through this disease.
Yeah, yeah. And it's horrible to think that, you know, guys and girls out there putting their lives on the line, and they're at a higher risk for this.
Right. You know, just if I were to ask you personally, what would you think the top three causes of death for firefighter would be? Just top of your head, what do you think?
Honestly, you know, smoke inhalation, of course, the fire itself. And then I would actually put it as the cancer, just because I've heard about it so much lately.
Yeah, I would list them as cancer, heart attacks, and suicide.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, that puts a different perspective on things. That, not to say that firefighting isn't dangerous, it certainly is, but the biggest risks are the things that you don't think about.
And no, I just feel like not a lot of people are talking about those risks.
Right, right. And it's kind of it doesn't make a movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's not the thing that you think about, but it is something that people like the FCSN and other organizations are trying to get the word out so firefighters can have a good, healthy career and a good, healthy retirement.
Absolutely, because you think about all these dangers that they have to go through on a daily basis and how much help they apply to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then they've got these other risks on top of it.
Yeah.
That we aren't even having conversations about.
Right. And culture has changed, so it is getting better. Unfortunately, it takes sometimes a pallbearers to make things happen.
Yeah.
You know, we got to change things. So, and that's what the FCSN is about. The LA firefighter got cancer and he discovered there was nothing in support of firefighters with cancer. So he started the organization kind of like, it needs to get done. So,
yeah. And so how are you guys funded?
Funded mostly there's some grants that help us do some of the things, but a lot of it is simply fundraisers and charities, because we're a 501c3 nonprofit, so we have to raise funds to keep going.
Yeah, boots on the ground, get out there
and
help us out. And you know, to an extent, though, I kind of like that, because it sounds like these are hometowns helping their firefighters.
Yeah, it is mostly, yes.
Yeah. Now, what does cancer risk look like?
Well, they say 40% of the population will get cancer, period. Firefighters have a 9% higher risk, higher probability than the average person. And of firefighters who do get cancer, they have a 14% higher mortality rate.
Holy cow.
Right. And so you have a double variables that are working against the firefighters.
Now, what if we really look at the cancer being significantly higher? Why is this? Is this the chemicals that they're dealing with? Are these the fires that they're charging into? The smoke?
I'm going to say that the biggest thing is the products of combustion in today's fires. 50 years ago, a fire burned differently. You had furniture made of mostly structural timber, untreated wood, cotton batting. Now it's a lot of polymers, a lot of glulam construction. And those things are great building materials unless they catch fire.
Yeah.
Then they burn really fast, really hot. And the chemicals that are being produced by the fire are very toxic.
Yeah. Now, people might say, well, aren't they wearing their breathing apparatus?
Yeah, but if you're in it and the smoke is impermeating your gear and your doing stuff, it's going to get on your skin. You're going to, if you can smell it, you're absorbing it, and you're going to touch it, and you're going to, you can't stay in a sterile environment and fight fire. You're going to get dirty, period. Yeah. That's all there's to it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't understand some of the places that a firefighter's actually got to go.
Mm-hmm.
There are testing tunnels that are nothing more than, pieces of plywood that have basically been made to resemble like a large crawl space, and then they fill that with wires of every kind.
Oh, sure.
They blind you, put your gear on you, and say, crawl through that and make it out alive. And I mean, there's a lot of challenges that a firefighter faces that are not shown in modern media.
Right, and those are very challenging, you know, those kind of training scenarios to get through. And again, the Firefighting Act is dangerous, and it's very disorienting sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But And those kind of things that get you through a call, some of the cancer stuff will get you in your career and shorten your life, and not just, it's more of a accumulated exposure.
Yeah. Yeah. So those individuals who've been doing this 10, 15 years,
mm-hmm.
I mean, their risk is.
Right. And so like myself, I started at Sheridan in 2002. So the things that we did back then weren't really known as far as coming back from a call and taking a shower right away. That really wasn't part of the culture. We didn't understand that that was a bad thing.
Yeah.
So for me, myself, it's going to be the early detection and screenings that are going to keep me personally healthy for years to come.
Yeah.
You know,
how often do you go in for screening?
Well, every year the department does put us through some physical screening and blood work and that kind of thing. So it's a pretty good way to keep up on what's going on. But honestly, the best barometer is yourself. If something feels off for a couple weeks,
yeah,
tell your doctor. And that's just what we're going to say. You know, it's everybody feels sick or whatever, but if for no reason and you keep feeling bad, you need to get checked out. Because sometimes the cancer symptoms are so nondescript and benign, you don't think, it just feel kind of crummy, but mm-hmm. It could be a lot more than that.
Yeah. And it's so the culture down at our own fire and rescue around mm-hmm. cancer and preventing this is, hey, how you feeling, buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing okay? Have you gone in for your screening this year? I mean, are they kind of on top of you about
that
stuff?
The department does have an annual screening we just go through. We don't have a choice. Go through some of the blood work and that stuff. And I have talked to our medical director, and it added some components to it. I think it's going to help us catch some of these screenings as well.
Yeah.
So it's a continual learning process.
Now, when it comes to the network,
mm-hmm.
how long has the network been here
in Sheridan? Well, I became a regional person in 18, and the state director at the time, he decided he needed to step down because he couldn't devote enough time to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was probably around 2021-ish or so. And so it's kind of like, okay, we need someone to run this, and everyone stares at your shoes. Nobody wants to do it. But
yeah.
I didn't want to let this thing just kind of dissipate. So I said, okay, I'll step up to be the state director. And my goal as a state director has been trying to reach out to where I can do the most good. So I've been able to get into the recruit academies like Cheyenne and Casper and teach the guys first starting out in the fire service and whoever else I can get to their department, because I want people start their career on the right foot.
Yeah.
So they can learn the good habits. Don't learn the bad habits from the stuff we used to do.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're done with a call, get your butt in the shower.
Get cleaned up. And if your gear stinks, you should wash it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
And that wasn't really a general practice back in the day, was
it? No, it was, you have your chief officer out in the front yard, all clean and pristine. And you have the guy that's coming in from the fire all dirty, and that looks cool. But you need to be clean, because that's...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So this stuff, these carcinogens attaching mm-hmm. themselves to you, a lot of people might not know. You don't need to inhale this stuff.
No.
All it's got to do is, in some cases, for some of this stuff, skin contact is enough.
Right. And another statistic that's interesting is for every 5 degrees in temperature your skin increases, your permeability increases 400%. So if you go to a fire and you're hot and sweaty and the stuff you're in contact with, your pores open up and you absorb faster.
Wow.
That's another kind of a thing that we have to deal with.
Now, when it comes to the prevention efforts that you guys are mm-hmm. really trying to go forward with, what are some of the ones that you like to employ? You said you're going down to the academies. Mm-hmm. That way they start off cautious and they know the risks.
Right.
Of the career that they're getting involved in. What else do you like to do to really let your firefighters know, guys, we gotta keep our heads above water here?
Well, we have on scene, we have a hose that we use primarily for washing our gear down. So you change your air bottle out, and we have a 50-foot hose. We wash everybody off so when they're still on air, hopefully, and clean themselves off to reduce the contact contaminants that you take when you touch your skin, your face, and you take your mask off. That's one thing. Hand wipes, to wash your face, your hands before you drink a bottle of water, because you don't want to have that stuff on your hand and then you ingest it. You want to try to maintain the minimal contact with the carcinogens and soot as you can. Those things that I've been kind of preaching to the guys. Mm-hmm. Stay clean. Stay clean on scene. Don't get in the truck when you're dirty. Take your, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Don't, I mean, it's contaminant.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to treat it as such.
Right.
And so when we talk about the individuals who have been affected,
mm-hmm.
What efforts are being made to help our heroes in red basically get through this such a difficult time in life?
Yeah, what the FCSN does offer is a toolbox, and basically it's a file box that you get in the mail, and has hanging files. You can organize your medical appointments, the questions asked to the doctor. Because I've talked to several different cancer patients as state director, and if the doctor says you got cancer, you're not going to hear anything else they say.
Yep,
you're going to be, your head's going to be somewhere else. So you can. What to do, the questions to ask a doctor to make it sense to you, because, you know, that's going to be tough to do, organize your stuff. And probably one of the most important things is we have there's something called a badge-to-badge mentorship. So you have a firefighter cancer survivor who you can be in contact with. They'll be assigned to you with hopefully the same or similar type of cancer, so they can keep in contact with you and walk you through your journey, because it's a dark place to go through, I understand.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been there. Thank goodness I don't want to. But people that have, you know, it's nobody understands us like firefighters. My wife doesn't understand me. I talk to her about work. She looks at me like, I don't understand. And she's been a nurse for longer than I've known her. And she doesn't understand the stuff that we go through.
Yeah.
You know, but no one understands firefighters like firefighters. And no one's going to understand a firefighter cancer guy like another firefighter cancer person.
Yeah. And so these individuals, they're your mentor through this whole trying period.
Because I
wouldn't be able to think past that diagnosis either. I think the shock, the fear.
Your mortality comes to light.
Yeah.
You bet.
And it, you know, some people are saying, well, you're firefighters. Your mortality's always on the line. Well, yeah, it is. But to an extent, I also have to believe I'm a little immortal. I'm going to get you out of there no matter what.
You know, you have to have a can-do attitude to do this, and I get that. But what struck me as interesting about the FCSN is that there wasn't anyone that I could see that was helping firefighters when they needed help. Firefighters help people. Who helps us?
Yeah.
And that's like, it's kind of the irony of it.
Yeah.
That we need help too sometimes. So we are just people.
Paul, how can we help our firefighters?
Well, you know, I do have a fundraiser planned this Thursday at Black Tooth. I'm going to have a little, I'm going to keep it pretty simple this year. I have a 50-50, and Home Depot has generously donated a grill we're going to raffle off. But if you want to contact me, that'd be great. Best way is to call down the fire station and ask, get my information that way. And I'd love to talk to someone who's interested in this, looking for a help the FCSN or anything like that, you bet.
So we can make monetary donations if that's what we've got. Do we have any kind of, do you have the capability, I guess I should say, of having volunteers help you out? I mean, do you have something you could assign somebody to who wants to get out on the street and bring awareness?
I don't at this time. I'm kind of
kind of a one-man
show.
Here.
Well, there's about 17 people across the state, but they're spread across the state as far as in the FCSN organization. And a lot of the guys at the station have been really good about helping out and doing that things when I ask them to. So that's been awesome. But everyone has got busy lives too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the reality of it.
Now, when it comes to this fundraiser up at Blacktooth, one more time, when's that going
to
start?
It's Thursday, 4 to 9. As I was talking to one of the people down at the brewery, that's what she said. So they're going to donate, I believe it's $1 per beer sold during that time frame towards the FCSN.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm not trying to advocate alcohol use, but just if you want to have a beer and visit with you, I'd be great to come out and love to see you.
If you and the guys or you and the ladies
absolutely.
Are looking for something to do, this is the perfect night to do it. Thursday night, 4 to 9, head on down to Blacktooth. Every beer you buy from 4 to 9 p.m. is going to help this organization spread awareness and provide mentors to those who have been diagnosed with cancer. Now, what else would you like folks to know about the Firefighter Cancer Support Network or the battles that these brave men and women go through?
Gosh, I know I haven't even thought about that question. I don't know. It's that we're still humans. We still need that kind of support and to do that because, you know, at the end of the day, we still have families. We still have kids. We still have the same things. We're not Superman and great in bunker gear. But I think people are drawn to the fire service because they have an insatiable desire to help others.
Yeah.
I think people who don't have that in them probably don't stay around very long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a desire to be a public servant and help others and help people in their time of need, that's a pretty powerful thing to be a part of.
Absolutely.
So, I'm not sure if I answered your question at all.
I think that's perfect, Paul. And I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning, speaking with us and bringing some awareness around this. You know, we see with our own eyes in media the battle against the blaze. We don't get to see the battle that's going on behind closed doors. So thank you for helping us
for
understand that a little bit more. It's been a pleasure, my friend.
Yes, sir.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse, 930 KROE. And 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, we believe leadership starts with heart. That's why we're proud to announce DJ Dearcorn as our new president and CEO-elect. DJ will take over from current CEO Kevin Bailey, who will be retiring in January. DJ's journey with us has been built on trust, character, and a deep commitment to the people we serve. As he steps into this new role, we look forward to the future, guided by a leader who's grown right here with us.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Community commitment. Lifetime legacy. Member FDIC.
The City of Sheridan Weed and Pest Division would like to announce that mosquito fogging will begin starting the week of June 16th and continue through the mosquito breeding season. Fogging will take place Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings when necessary. For more information, to report heavy concentrations of mosquitoes, or to request that your home be in a no-spray zone, please call the mosquito hotline at 307-655-8297 or visit the website at www.sheridanwy.gov.
Oh, summer's here! Time to get your car ready for summer driving. Midas can help with everything from oil change to tire, steering and suspension, air conditioning, check engine lights. It's your one-stop shop for all things cars and trucks. This month, get free digital inspection when you bring your car to Midas and a voucher for $20 off any detailed service from Sheridan Auto Spa. Plus, special savings on brakes and struts. Get your car cleaned up and running great inside and out at Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Up where the air is thin and the pines whisper secrets, there's a place called Spiro Wigwam, 30 miles up the Red Grade, at 8,300 feet in the heart of the Bighorns, where the trail calls to those with a cowboy soul. Saddle up for half-day or all-day guided horseback rides, perfect for families, first-timers, even the seasoned cowhand. So experience the way the West was meant to be, horseback. Call Spiro Wigwam or go online at SpiroWigwam.com to come ride where the trails touch the sky.
Celebrate the 4th of July with family, friends, and your country neighbors with fireworks. Whiz Bang Fireworks is now open with a huge selection of fireworks. High 500 milligram display cakes, multi-shot reloading artillery shells from bottle rockets, Roman candles, missiles, fountains, cones, bigger and better assortment packs. Whiz Bang Fireworks will get your 4th of July off to a big bang. Whiz Bang Fireworks is now open daily. 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. on North Main Street behind Pizza Hut. Please follow all.